The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But now, a new report by the Department of Health shows Ireland's population is aging faster than anywhere else in Europe. What challenges does that present for Ireland in the future? Are we prepared at all to meet it? Well, two people are going to talk to me about this. Nat O'Connor, Senior Public Affairs and Policy Specialist at Age Action Ireland, and Edgar Morganroth, Professor of Economics at the DCU Business School. Good morning and welcome to you both. Nat, first of all, your reaction to the problems that may lie ahead in the light of the problems that currently exist for older people.
Well, indeed. I mean, the problem is not that we have a growing number of older people. I mean, the fact that we're healthy, aging in a healthy way, people are living longer lives, that's not a problem at all. It's a great success story. But the problem is that we haven't prepared well enough and we haven't put in place the necessary long-term investments and support systems. So, I mean, what we have is a situation where, at the moment, Ireland is at the bottom of the table across Europe in terms of the proportion of older persons. So for people aged 65 to 79, we're second lowest in the EU. For people aged 80 or older, we actually have the lowest number of people in the EU in that age category. So we now need to prepare as we move closer to the European average.
Would you not just copy what the Germans are doing? They've obviously had this problem for quite some time, or any of the other European countries which are ahead of us on the table, and say, well, how do they cope? How do they pay for pensions? How do they do healthcare? How do they do housing? Let's just look at what they do and let's copy.
Well, certainly we can learn an awful lot from other jurisdictions. And it's not just about healthcare either. It's about the whole range of things that we need for independent living, for aging in place in our own homes and communities for as long as possible. So that means getting our housing right, including accessible housing, getting the transport right, because we know a lot of people are living in rural housing in Ireland. If you lose your ability to drive, that can really affect your independence. And of course, income adequacy. We need to make sure the state pension is adequate for people. But of course, we also need to make those key investments in things like hospital beds, because you can't build a hospital overnight. ESRI has projected that we are, you know, potentially a few thousand beds short in the National Development Plan. I mean, the government is planning to bring on nearly 3,000 extra beds by 2027. It's not enough, according to the ESRI. We need to look at perhaps a couple of thousand beds more. And of course, that's not just beds. It's all of the staff that's required to man those beds in terms of nurses, doctors, other health professionals. So we really need to do better in terms of planning.
Okay, this problem, if that's what it's going to be, that instead of having five workers supporting every dependent, at the current statistic, it'll be three workers supporting every one person. So therefore, you either need more workers or do something. And the thing is that the people who are going to be affected by this, who will be dependent, are currently the people who might be asked to vote or decide on measures taken today, which in 20 years' time will benefit them. But, you know, let the future take care of itself.
Well, we have an issue in this country, like in many others, of not doing enough to plan for the future, whether it's in terms of climate or, in this case, our aging population. Now, but the idea that everybody over the age of 65 is a dependent is very mistaken. There was a report out yesterday which showed that 60% of older persons are supporting their children and grandchildren financially. So there's a lot of circulation of income and wealth. And of course, many people over the age of 66 are still at work. 1 in 8 people over 65 are actually still in the labour force. That's 13%. And that doesn't count those who are working as carers, as volunteers. So the idea of a dependency ratio, in a way, is a misconception. I mean, we
I think it's more to do with the state pension, is it not? Whether or not we'll be able to afford to keep pace with inflation and so on if everyone retires at 65 and lives to 95.
Well, I suppose the fact of the matter is, first of all, everybody doesn't retire at 65. Many people still work. But of course, we do have to put in the investment. So the Pensions Commission, the recent Tax and Welfare Commission have all said we need to look at our social insurance system, including the employer's social insurance, to make sure we are paying enough, because we do have one of the lower tax bases in the European Union, particularly in terms of social insurance. But if we put in that insurance now, we can create a system that's sustainable. And of course, that money, you know, is taxable and goes back into the economy. So it's not as if it's going into a black hole, but it is about making sure we have a wide enough tax base.
There wouldn't be any appetite to jack up the PRSI rate by very much, I would suspect, even by those who figure they benefit from it in 20 years' time.
Well, raising taxes is never popular. So I think what's most important is that we look at, you know, what are we trying to achieve? you know, poverty isn't popular, neither is a situation where you have hospital waiting lists or other difficulties. So we need to look at what kind of life we want, what kind of life we want for all of us as we grow older. I mean, the good news is most of us can look forward to making it not only to our 60s, but once we hit our 60s, to another 20 years of healthy living. And so if we want that as a society, and we want it for ourselves, for our families, then we do need to look at the tax system. And it's a responsibility of government to come forward with a plan, as they have done, in fairness, to talk about the actuarial review of the social insurance system.
Yeah, but then you have the opposition jumping up and down and saying, no change.
Well, the opposition are also, you know, promising housing, promising a healthcare system, promising to pay healthcare workers more. And they have to be realistic about how are they going to pay for that. And so that's you know, the reality of politics is that, you know, you have to be able to pay for the things that that people want.
All right. Edgar Morgenroth, Professor of Economics at DCU Business School, has been listening to that conversation with Nat. Edgar, the idea of preparing for a future, you know, people don't necessarily think today about what needs to be in place for them when they need it.
Absolutely, and that's why we tend to have social security and pension systems and governments to actually do some of this. We know that individuals may not always sort of plan optimally, but neither does the government. I mean, we've known about this coming down the track for a long time, and this is one of the things that we can actually plan for. You know, we couldn't plan for the current energy crisis, for example. That was pretty much unforeseen, but this aging issue is perfectly foreseen and for some time.
Yeah. And again, okay, Edgar, the two things, first of all, we talk about is the dependency ratio. One way to change that is obviously to have more kids born in this country or more immigration into the country, bringing young children who will become workers who will help to fund the older cohort when their pensions are due. So we're not likely to procreate more, I suspect.
Well, actually, our fertility has dropped quite a bit over the last number of years. And it's now already the fact that the population increase is more than 50% due to immigration and net immigration. So it's already happening. You know, we had relatively high fertility in Ireland compared to other EU countries for a long time. We maintained high rates of births, but that seems to be gone. And part of that, of course, is to do with incentives and childcare costs, etc. So we are already seeing immigration. Immigrants, if you look at the age structure, typically in the economically active age groups, possibly with their kids, but very, very few old people migrating. And if there are old people migrating, they're typically coming back to Ireland having left at some point.
Okay, but Angela Merkel, at the time of the Syrian refugee crisis, obviously she was doing it with a heart and a half because these were people in distress. But also at the time, she was pointing out that Germany had a great need for a young worker cohort, and this was going to be of benefit to Germany. Should we be now thinking, you know, maybe hoping that many of those Ukrainians don't go home, but stay here and build their lives and their children's lives in the Irish economy?
So if you look at immigration, it's had a very substantial positive effect on Ireland already, and even going before the Ukrainian or the Russian war on Ukraine. So it's nothing that's not actually new. We've had this. We've benefited from this. And that is a good thing. This is one of the things that has kept Ireland's growth going. One of the issues that we do face is we actually have a growing population, unlike Germany, where the population is essentially static. And if it wasn't for migration, they would actually have a declining population. We have an increasing population still, and we have an increasing population at a time when we haven't got enough housing. So the migration does put strain on that as well, and we need to fix that problem. And of course, the aging issue itself also requires a housing solution, which we haven't really talked about.
So appropriate housing. For example, there are people who maybe today who are renting in the private housing market and they have a good income. That income will diminish when they retire. Yet, because of the nature of our private rental system, the rents are inexorably going to go up. And will they even be affordable for people? Will they have to leave the home that they've been renting in for decades because simply it becomes unaffordable? What to do about that?
And what is the appropriate type of housing for older people? There are a lot of issues around this. But increasingly people are not able to buy properties. Our system has traditionally been such that you expected someone to have no longer a mortgage on a property when they retire. That meant that their costs would go down and they could then live reasonably comfortably with the pension that was provided. But if they had to rent, that income might no longer be sufficient, and you get old age poverty, which is something that you see in the likes of Germany, where some older people really fall into a poverty trap, which is really, really difficult for them because they may not be able to work, they may not have a way out of this.
So we're not thinking really enough of the future. I mean, we heard from Nat there about the number of hospital beds that we will actually need compared to the number of hospital beds that have been promised, and that will be simply not enough.
Yeah, and again, this is known. I worked on one of the ESRI reports on hospital beds needs due to demographic change. It must be a decade ago now at this stage. So these things are not new. We're just not solving the problems. That's the problem. Often we come up with great plans, but actually putting them in action is where we fall short.
So what's your solution then? How do we get the body politic? How do we get the political parties of all hues to accept the reality of what lies ahead and to plan appropriately for it rather than, fudging their way along, meeting every crisis and trying to solve it on the hoof?
I think there needs to be a wider discussion in society to get an understanding that these costs are coming our way anyway. This is not something we're not going to be able to stop. We are all getting older. It's a fact of life. And the implications of that need to be sort of discussed more widely. And that would hopefully take some of the kind of the politics out of this, because the solutions, I think, are very much obvious, and I think they are very much obvious for all parties. This shouldn't be a political issue, really. This is a societal issue we need to deal with.
It's always trying to reform a system, though, in the middle of its operation, whether it's the health system or even the rental system. Getting local authorities to build appropriate housing that is available to people of all incomes, and obviously what they pay in rent is conditional on their income. That works in other countries very well, and you get a total mixture of social groups in any apartment block, but it's not how our system works here.
Yep, it's not well joined up, and we end up trying to fix the roof when it's raining, and we should be fixing the roof when the sun shines. And I think we have an opportunity still to fix all of these things, or at least put them into the right direction. And the sooner we do it, the better.
Edgar Morgenroth, Professor of Economics at DCU Business School, and before that, Nat O'Connor, Senior Public Affairs and Policy Specialist at Age Action Ireland. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.